for quite a while now, looking at and focusing our study and our worship time on Sunday mornings on the whole idea of what we call experiencing God. And a fellow by the name of Henry Blackaby and another fellow by the name of Claude King put together some really fine material by that title, Experiencing God. And a lot of the things that I've been sharing with you about this come from that material. And it's just the whole idea, as we've been talking about, of more than just knowing about God. It's more than just reading information about God in the Bible and having a bunch of information. Say, well, yeah, I know that. But it's getting to know God by our experiences with Him. And that's what we've been focusing on. And then as we experience God, as we really become in tune to the experiences that we have with God and that relationship that we share with Him, then we have something. It's kind of like we were talking about in our Bible class this morning. We've got something to share with other people. We have a story to tell other people about our experience that we have with God. And over the last bunch of weeks, we've been really focusing on what we call seven realities of experiencing God, and looking at some things that, you know, when we're in an experience with God, in a relationship with Him, there are some certain aspects of that that we need to understand that's taking place because of the experience and the relationship with God. Well, what we're going to do now for the next few weeks is we're going to talk about experiencing God through some of the emotions that we have and some of the specific experiences of joys and of sorrows and of tragedies and of triumphs. We're going to look at each one of those aspects of it on each Sunday. Now, next Sunday, we're going to take a break. You get a break from me. I'm going to be out of town, and Dale is going to be speaking next Sunday for us here. But we'll pick this study up the following week when I get back. We're going to be looking at those things, the joys, experiencing God through our joys, experiencing God through our sorrows, experiencing God through the tragedies that we face in life, and experiencing God through the triumphs or the victories that we have. Really, what we're going to be focusing a lot on is everyday kinds of emotions that we go through within our lives. And some questions that I want you to be thinking about as we look at these different aspects. First of all, what role does God play in those experiences? So in other words, when you think about experiencing God through joy in your life, what role does God really have in the joy that you experience in your life? Or what role does He have in the tragedies or the sorrows or the triumphs? What role does God play in those things? And then also we need to be looking at how we're seeing God in those roles. How do we see God and the experience that we have with Him in both the good and the bad that we experience in life? And how do those experiences then help us to reach out to other people? So those are the things that we're going to be looking at and focusing on. Now, as we begin our lesson for this morning, talking about experiencing God through joy, let me just ask you this morning, how many of you right now are happy? Okay, some of you don't have your hands up. Some of you were kind of going, okay, I guess I don't want to be the only one in the room without my hand up, so I guess I'll put it up there. Well, you know, when I got up this morning, I ate some breakfast, and that made me happy. Okay, I read through the obituaries, and I found out my name was not in there, and that made me happy. You see, I looked at the weather report, and I saw what a fine day the Lord had in store for us, and that made me happy. You see? And then I drove here. You know, I like to take the road, the back roads, coming along through here, through the country. I had the window down. It was really nice. A nice, enjoyable ride through the countryside, and that made me happy. You see? And I got here safely. That made me happy. You see? And then I met with the elders, the other elders. And then... Well, actually, that made me happy too, you see, because we were able to meet and we spent some time talking about some important things for the church and we prayed together and that made me happy. And then, you know, we I got to come in here and I get to stand up in front of you and preach to you this morning, and that makes me happy. And I'm sure that, you know, if you think about your morning thus far, there's probably some similar things to that in your life. And you look at those things, you say, well, yeah, I guess, you know, those things make me happy. Because they're all pretty well good stuff, right? Well, let me ask you another question. How many of you honestly can sit here this morning and say you have a lot of joy in your life right now? Okay. A lot of you do, but a lot of you don't. Okay. See, here's one of the things I want you to think about as we talk about experiencing joy in our relationship with God. Joy and happiness are not necessarily the same thing. Okay? Joy and happiness are not necessarily the same thing. They're related to one another, very closely related, but they're not necessarily the same thing. In other words, the things that make me happy are tend to be oftentimes very simple, everyday kinds of things that, you know. But what about the joy part? You see, happiness kind of comes and goes a lot, doesn't it? Because I could just as easily gotten up and there wasn't anything to eat for breakfast, and then I wouldn't have been happy, you see. Or I could have gotten up and gotten in my car or my truck to leave and to come here and turn the key and it wouldn't have started and I wouldn't have been happy. See? And I could have come on down the road and maybe had an accident on the way here, and that certainly would not have made me happy. But you know what? If all of those negative things and even more would have happened, and I'm thankful, by the way, they didn't, but even if they had, I can honestly tell you that I think, although I might not be happy, I would still be filled with joy in my life. And the reason that I can say that is because of my experience with God. Okay? And being able to experience God through the joys in my life. You say, well, okay, wait a minute, Russ, how does that happen? Well, I think it begins, we find the answer, the beginning part of that answer in the text that Brandon read for us as we began this morning. So turn your Bible over to the Gospel of John. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. And if you look on your outline there, you see the first topic we're going to talk about is complete joy. Okay? And I want you to notice what Jesus is saying here about this whole idea of joy here. And we need to be looking at this to find out where does this joy come from, okay? And how much of it does He really want us to have, okay? John 15, beginning in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Does that make you feel happy? Does it bring joy to you, okay? Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. Does that sound vaguely familiar to anything that we've been talking about over the last bunch of weeks? You see? Talking about how important it is for us to do what God wants us to do. That it is God's world and God has plans for us, and what we need to do is to be following Him and obeying His commands. Now look at what He says next. Verse 11, the reason that I told you this, you see, you with me there? The reason that I've told you this is so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You see, here's one of the things that we've got to understand as Christians. God wants us, He wants you to be filled with joy. Okay? Do you believe that? Ooh, convince me of that. You see, I'm not sure that you get it. God wants you to have complete joy in your life. And you say, well, but wait a minute, Russ. I understand the concept, but you don't understand what's going on in my life right now. And if you had to deal with what I've got to deal with in my life right now, you wouldn't be feeling a whole lot of joy. Well, what I'm trying to get you to understand is you may not be very happy right now because of what's going on in your life, but you can still be filled with joy. And that comes from, first of all, from us living in obedience to Christ. That's the source of joy, you say. Living in obedience to Him. If you're not filled full of joy in your life, it probably has something to do with the fact that you're not living in obedience to Him. Is that not a reasonable conclusion to come to from what He's saying here? You say, obey my commands. You say, and the reason I've told you this is because I want my joy to be in you and for your joy to be complete. How do we have that complete joy? By living in obedience to Christ. Okay? Again, not necessarily that we're always happy with everything, but we find joy. Okay? And as we go along, you're going to see more and more, hopefully, as to why that is true. You see, joy comes from our obedience to God. The reason I think mainly that that's true is because when we do the things that God wants us to do, and we do them His way, you know what? They work better. You see? They work better. When we don't do them His way, because we figure, oh, I know what the Bible says, but, and we do it our way, it typically doesn't work very well. At least that's been my experience in my life, you see? And I think there's a good, sound reason for that, because if they could work out that way by not doing it God's way, what do we need God for? Think about it. What do we need Him for? If we could work it out our way and still find complete joy. The reality is we can't. You see? So that's part of the idea here is when we're doing things God's way, they work better. You see? Now that doesn't mean, don't get me wrong, doesn't mean everything's going to work out the way we want it to, but it is going to work better. You see the difference? You see, part of this whole thing is that we've got to get ourselves out of the way. It's not always a matter of working out the way we want it to. It's a matter of learning how to accept that things work out the way God wants them to. And when I get that up here and I get it down here, then no matter how things work out, I know that it's God's plan that's working, and I can find complete joy in that. See? And that makes all the difference in the world. When life works, see? When life works, we're generally happier people, aren't we? See? But even when it's not working the way we want it to work, we can still find joy in knowing that God is the one who is in control and we're following what He wants us to be doing in our lives. I want you to stop and consider this for a moment. You know, there's been just this awesome, awesome effort on the part of a lot of people throughout America today, not anywhere close to a majority, by the way, but by a lot of people to get God out of the public arena completely and totally. See? Now let me ask you to think about this. Just picture this in your mind for just a moment. Okay? Can you imagine what the world would be like without God in it at all? Okay, that doesn't make me happy to think about that. Okay? But do you understand my point? You see, it's all a matter of coming back to what Jesus is saying. Look, I want you to have joy in your life. And let me tell you the secret of being able to have joy in your life. And that is to live in obedience to my commands. Just do what I tell you to do. Because I want you to have complete joy, not partial joy. And you see, I think the problem is there's a lot of Christians out here that don't understand this whole concept that God wants us to have joy in our lives. And we get together and we sing songs of praise to God and we go, I'm happy today. Yes, I'm happy today. Well, let me ask you a question. If you go to your place of business and you've got somebody there that's struggling in life, and maybe they know you're a Christian, and they've got some problems and they need somebody to talk to, but every time they see you, though you claim to be a Christian, you're miserable. Do you think that Christianity is something they want to be a part of? If that's what you've got to offer? No. No. God wants you to have joy in your life. You know why? I think because joy is contagious. You see? It spreads. And when people see the joy that we have in our lives, even in the midst of turmoil, people look at that and go, there's something about you. I don't know what it is, but I'm interested. And that's a whole lot better than people going, I know he's supposed to be a Christian, but boy, he sure seems to be miserable all the time. Why would they want that? You see, God wants us to have that kind of joy in our lives. But that joy comes by us obeying His commands in our lives, doing things the way God wants us to do them. And, it also, by the way, it takes an awful lot of stress off of us. I don't have to figure out how to do necessarily everything. I just got to do it the way He says to do it, you see. He's already told me what I need to do. I just need to do it. Well, okay, so we get this idea of just obeying the commands, and that's supposed to make me have lots of joy, right? Well, there's more to it than that. You knew that, right? That's why we have a second point and a third point in the lesson. Okay? All right? Look at the second point in your outline here, overflowing with hope. All right? And look at what Paul says as he wrote to the church in Rome. In Romans 15 and verse 13, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you, underline this word in your Bible, trust in Him. As you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that phrase mean, as you trust in Him? See, that's a key point in this statement that Paul is making here, because what it basically points to is living in obedience to Him. You see? As you trust in Him. You know, it goes right back to keeping His commands. In other words, do you trust Jesus enough that when He says, look, in your situation, this is what you need to do, this is what I'm commanding you to do, that you trust Him enough that you're going to do it? Rather than going, I know what He says, but it's not going to work. Do you trust in Him? You see, because that trust brings hope. And you know what steals our joy, I think, probably more than anything else? It's hopelessness. Hopelessness. When whatever the situation is that we're dealing with, whatever our Red Sea event is in our life, we're looking at it and going, this is hopeless. There's no way that this is going to change. There's no way that this person is going to stop doing this or start doing this, or that my boss is going to do this, or whatever we're facing. There's no way for me to get from this side to the other side of my Red Sea. That is a feeling of total hopelessness, and that steals our joy. Well, what was it that God told Moses when they stood there at the banks of the Red Sea? Stand back and see the power of the Lord. You see? That is hope. And hope is what restores our joy. You see? I don't have to know how I'm going to get to the other side. How is God going to make this happen? How is He going to work this out? How is He going to get me over to the other side? And I can stand there, as we've talked about before, trying to figure out, how to build a bridge and everything else. And all the time, God's saying, just wait. Because I got dry ground for you to cross on. See? What's the difference in the people of Israel when they were on the side before they crossed when they're looking at the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them, and the way they felt at that moment, the moment when they got to the other side, and they stood there on the banks and they watched Pharaoh's army be drowned in the sea. Okay? That is God working His plan in their lives, and them just simply living in obedience. Okay? And God restored their hope to them. But you see, in order for that hope to take place, we've got to live in obedience to Him. And that means to know that in my everyday experiences, when I'm faced with this particular situation or this one, and I know that for instance, God's Word tells me that I just need to forgive this person for what they've done against me. And my inside, my fleshly nature wants to say, there's no way I'm going to forgive them. I'll never forgive them for that. Well, you know what? You have just allowed Satan to steal all of your joy and the hope of ever having it back. Because you refuse to do what God told you to do. That's how it works. But when we experience God and we live in obedience to Him and He says, just forgive them, and we do, wow. You know, I don't know what the response is going to be of that other person, but you know, that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. God has just given me not only hope, but joy. Okay? And that comes from living in obedience to Him. Trusting Him enough to know that He is in control of whatever the experience that I'm having at that point in my life. And the experience that He's going to take me through. Okay? Where He restores my joy in that situation that I'm in. And you know, that's why James could tell us over in James chapter 1 in verse 2, he says, consider it pure joy, my brethren, whenever you face trials of many kinds. You see? Yeah. That's why we have a big difference between being happy and being full of joy. Because in the difficult times, in the trials, in the tribulations that we face, we can still find joy. Because our hope has not been taken away from us. Okay? So as we face those trials and tribulations, that hope keeps us filled with joy as we just simply do what God tells us to do. Okay? What kind of a joy is it really? Well, ultimately, it really comes down to what Peter refers to as an inexpressible and glorious joy. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Peter says, though you have not seen Him, that's Christ he's referring to, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Doesn't that kind of take us back to what Jesus said in John chapter 15? You see? Remain in my love. Okay? Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Why? Verse 9. For you are receiving, that means it's taking place right now, you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. An inexpressible and glorious joy. Well, okay, wait a minute. So that you can really completely grasp what it is that Peter's saying, we've got to go up to verse 3 here. Okay? And let's look at the build-up to what Peter is writing here beginning in verse 8. Look at what he says before that. Okay? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, look what He's given to you. He has given us new birth into a living, there's that word again, hope, okay, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Not only that, as if that were not enough, okay? If that weren't enough, look what else He's given us. Into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice. A lot of great rejoicing because that has been kept for you. In the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of whatever Red Sea event is going on in your life, you can look at and realize what is being kept in heaven for you. Something that will never perish. It will never fade away. And just how valuable is that? Well, continue reading on. Okay? In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. That's your Red Sea events, okay? These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Wow. Wow. Even though you go through those trials and those tribulations, those difficulties, your experience with God should tell you something that says, you know what? Even though I'm having to struggle with this, God, because He loves me, and I'm returning that love, and I trust in Him, and I have the faith that carries me through all of that. God is going to somehow work this out in His way, for His glory, if I will just simply trust Him and do what He says to do. And then I can walk through whatever that Red Sea event is. I can walk through it. Not necessarily all being happy and all giddy about it, but I can still be filled with joy. Why? Because I know what's coming, ultimately. I know what's coming. I'm going to reach my goal. You see? I'm going to reach my goal of being in heaven with God. That's the salvation of our soul. I don't know about you, but there's nothing that can take that away from me. Nothing. Okay? That's my goal. So you know what? Whether I get up in the morning and there's no breakfast, whether my truck won't start again, you know, whether I have to meet with the other elders again, you know, whatever it is that I have to do in my day and it doesn't work, it might take away my happiness momentarily, but it's not going to steal my joy. Because my joy does not depend on those events and all the things working out the way that I want them to work out. My joy depends on the salvation of my soul. And it depends on my relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, because that's where I get the hope. Because I trust in Him. And I trust Him enough to just simply try to do what He says to do. And that's how we experience God through the joys in our life. To know that yes, even in the midst of the tribulations and the trials and the struggles that I face, God is still there. God is with me. He's the one that's carrying me through those things and giving me what I need so that I don't lose hope and I don't lose faith. When I get to the other side of whatever it is I'm facing, not only will I continue to have joy, but my experience tells me that usually I find myself being pretty happy. How about you? I know that a lot of you said you were happy. Okay? Some of you didn't raise your hand when I talked about being joyful. Okay? I want you to think about, as we sing our invitation song this morning, how joyful are you now? As you rethink some of these things, are you joyful in your life today? Okay. The song that we're going to sing for our invitation song is one that some of you may not be very familiar with. Those who have done some of the singing that we've been doing on Sunday evenings are familiar with it. But it's a song that is just perfect for what we're talking about this morning. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. That's where we get our strength from, is from the Lord. And so while we're singing this song, the invitation is open. If there's, maybe there's something that's going on in your life where your joy is being stolen, and we can help you to get that joy back. That's what we want to do. And if there's someone here this morning who's not a Christian, I'll be honest with you, if that's your condition, you don't have any reason to be joyful because you don't have hope in Christ yet. But the really good thing is that you can fix that right now, you see. You can find that joy in Christ Jesus by giving your life to Him, by calling upon Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, repenting of the sins that are separating you from God, and having those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. And all you have to do is come up and let me know that you're ready to do that. I'll be up here to receive you. Ted will be in the back. If you'd like to talk with him privately or have a private prayer with him, he'll be back there to receive you. Let's stand together and sing.